Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Thank you to everyone. Our February telethon, broadcast telethon, is over. The goal was $20,000. We're on one AM radio station, Bob Inyart Live, not on hundreds. And we took in over $35,000, 75% of our goal. Thank you, everyone out there. And thank you, Doug McBurney, who was a great help. We'll be talking about Obama, the financial crisis, Bill Maher, and his movie Religulous. We'll be talking about that. And also, man, this is so fascinating. There are three groups of people, three tiers in the pro-life movement: those who advocate personhood now, personhood later, and personhood never. And we'll talk about those three. Pretty fascinating. So, Obama. Is Obama crazy? Is he crazy? First, he spends almost $1 trillion on a pork stimulus package. Then he introduces a $3 trillion annual budget plus. And within, what, 2 days of that, he's talking about cutting the deficit in half. Is he crazy? Or is he just a lunatic? He's spending like a drunken Democrat. Well, he's spending like a Democrat. He's spending trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars out of control. And within 48 hours, he says, we have to cut the deficit. He is a lunatic. The next thing we'll find out is that he exercises daily and smokes cigarettes. We'll probably, wouldn't that be funny if we found out that he both inhales and works out? That would be. Is there a word for all of this? Hypocrite? Is that it? Befuddled? Now, as for me, okay, I admit it. I feel a bit silly when I take antibiotics and probiotics. I feel a little bit conflicted. But at least I take them with different meals. Obama, trillions and trillions and trillions of increased spending. Oh, and we're going to cut the deficit. Why are we going to cut the deficit? Won't that hurt the economy? If we spend trillions, won't that help the economy? Why don't we just add another few trillion dollars every year and we'll spend ourselves into prosperity? Liberals, is it an IQ deficiency? Is that what it is? That's not what it is. It is human beings who are on a spectrum of rebellion against God, from apathy toward extreme open rebellion. Actually, apathy is a form of hatred. It's like they have an antenna, and they tend to zone in on anything that would be in rebellion against God. And so is it an IQ problem? Is it that they're just stupid? Is that it? Or is it that at a very deep level, they recognize that they are in rebellion against God when they set aside his command, do not steal? Socialism is wrong, not because it doesn't work. That would be a libertarian who doesn't know God would be stuck somewhere around, well, socialism doesn't work. Socialism is wrong because it violates God's command, do not steal. It violates God's command, do not steal. That's why welfare is wrong. If your neighbor takes money at the end of a gun from you, it's theft. If the majority vote to take money from you for their benefit, it's theft. It's plunder. And it's wrong because God said it's wrong. It's not wrong because it doesn't work. If we're trying to fund a pro-life effort, and we hold up a bank, maybe that'll work. No? Maybe you get $30,000 at one stick-up. Hold up the bank. But it's not relevant whether it works or not because it's wrong. It's wrong. And so we have Obama, the inhaler, who's force-feeding the country this potluck. You know, it used to be a chicken in every pot, and now it's a house on every lot, whether you can afford it or not. In fact, yesterday at Denver Bible Church in our Sunday school lesson, we were studying God's word in the Mosaic Law, the third book of the Bible, Leviticus, and chapter 19, verse 15. So cool. It reads, "You shall do no injustice in judgment." By the way, this was one of the Lord's favorite books. Jesus really liked the books of Moses. Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, I think, was his favorite book. The retelling of the law, Deuteronomy. And here in Leviticus 19, verse 15, "You shall do no injustice." By the way, Leviticus is the third book of the Bible. Levi was the third son of Jacob, third tribe, but that's for later. "You shall do no injustice in judgment." You got that? "In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor." I thought we weren't supposed to judge. Jesus said, "Don't judge as a hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you could judge your neighbor." That's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, "Judge with righteous judgment," John 7:24. Jesus said, "Judge rightly." And so here in Leviticus 19:15, "In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor." If somebody's selling crack cocaine to kids on a playground, are you going to say, "Well, I can't judge. You know, I am a blithering idiot. And if there's anything I know, it's that I can't judge. Who am I to judge? I have to first walk a mile in his moccasins. Maybe he needs the money for rent. Maybe the kids need a diversion from all their schoolwork and difficult parents." I mean, judge with righteous judgment. Leviticus 19:15, "In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty." In other words, the government should not be partial to the poor or the mighty. The verse before this mentions blindness, the blind, and, you know, thousands of idioms and themes of stories come out of God's word. And this idea of justice being blind, you know, that's a metaphor, right? It's supposed to be a metaphor, meaning justice will not take into account whether you're poor or whether you're rich. Justice should be the same for everyone. That's what it's supposed to mean. What it actually means today is they're blind. The courts are blind. They can't see. They don't know right from wrong. They're just flat out blind. It's not that they're impartial. They're just flat out blind. That's justice today. They have a new building in Denver, the Denver Justice System, and it's just the system. It's the Denver Justice System Center. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just the system. That's it. So they're building the Denver Justice System Center. Someone should get a photograph of that place and Photoshop the sign in front of it. Denver Justice System, with hyphens, Denver Justice System Center. Maybe when people Google it, that'll be the number one thing that pops up. Denver's Justice System Center. And so God says you shall not be partial to the poor. So George W. Bush, he doesn't use God's word to inform him on matters of right and wrong. He doesn't do that. So it was the Republicans that began to nationalize the banks. It was under the Bush administration that we had this partiality to the poor, where forget about a chicken in every pot, that was for the Democrats. It's under the Republican administration that we got a house on every lot. Every poor person deserves a home. This is our economic crisis today, in large part because of the housing collapse, ninja loans, ninja, no income, no job, no assets, no credit, No doc. No documentation. Just get a loan. Doesn't matter if you qualify. Doesn't matter. In fact, the banks could be punished if they don't give you a loan. And so where does this come from? This is all the Democrats? Well, if you listen to Sean Hannity, it's mostly the Democrats. But it's the Republicans. George W. Bush. How long had Greenspan been there? Alan Greenspan. Who was he appointed by? Wasn't it Thomas Jefferson? He's been there forever. Was he appointed by the first Bush? He's old enough. He's probably appointed by the first Republican president. Bush's Treasury Secretary was his name. Paul Henryson or Henry Paulson? Henry Paulson. Henry Paulson. These guys have handcrafted the economic crisis because they don't know God's word. They don't know what God meant when he said, thou shalt not steal. They didn't know it applied to them also. They think it doesn't apply to them. Like in Argentina, some general who thinks he can kidnap kids because the law doesn't apply to him. No, if a governing official kidnaps, it's still kidnapping. If a governing official murders, it's still murder. You know how many pro-life attorneys think abortion is not murder? I think it's most of them. They think abortion is not murder because it's been decriminalized. That's like saying there were no Jews who were murdered by the Germans because it was decriminalized. I mean, how inane. You know, a governing official could commit adultery. He could commit perjury. God said, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. He could commit perjury. He could commit theft. He could commit murder. Governments are not somehow incapable of committing crimes. How ignorant of conservative Christians, so-called conservative Christians, to promote that kind of humanist moral relativist garbage. Of course it's murder. Of course it's plunder. Of course it's stealing. Oh, but it's faith-based. It's faith-based. George W. Bush gets elected, and the conservative Christians were always against welfare, government entitlement handout programs. So then Bush figured, well, I'll make him an accomplice. I'll put him as a middleman. And now the churches will get a cut of the government trough. And so now you got all these supposed Christian evangelical leaders who are all for welfare as long as they get a cut. Actually, the evangelicals were going for welfare long before that. Because they don't know right from wrong. They don't know right from wrong. So now there's a Democrat in the White House, and at least the Republicans can pretend to be conservatives. That's one aspect of having a Democrat in the White House. Then the Republicans, remember when Jesus was walking on earth? Now he's ascended into heaven, and he'll be returning one day. He came the first time as a babe in the manger, an infant, harmless, to die for the sins of the world, and those who would trust in him would have everlasting life. But the second time he's coming, he's not coming as a babe in the manger. He's not being reincarnated. He's coming with a sword in his hand. Why? Well, look at all the misery in the world. Look at all the suffering. Look at all the hatred. And those who have humbled themselves before God are often the victims of those who couldn't care less about God, including children who are set up to fail by humanists who are moral relativists and tell kids they've evolved from animals. There is no right or wrong. If it feels good, do it. Question authority. And have sex as long as you could talk your girlfriend into it. And that's it. So they destroy people by the millions, and that makes God angry. So he's coming back, and there will be a judgment day. It's coming. As surely as the sun rises in the morning, God the Son is returning, and he's angry. But when Jesus was walking on earth 2,000 years ago, he was angry with the publicans. Do you remember that? He didn't like the publicans. He didn't have kind things to say for lawyers. He wasn't all that nice to the Herodians. Who were the Herodians? Well, they were the conservatives who were pragmatic, and they defended the Herod administration because it was the lesser of two evils. That was their deal. Look, it was either all-out raw Roman power or Herod. At least Herod is a half-Jew. So Herod was the lesser of two evils. So Jesus rebuked the Herodians. And did he ever have a kind word to say for the lawyers? I think he just slammed the lawyers and the publicans. And so now we forget about the Bible, so we have the Republicans. We're going to try it again. Hey, Lord, we know you didn't like the publicans, but what do you think of the Republicans? Aren't they better than the Democrats? So this is the mess we're in. With a Democrat in the White House, at least the Republicans can play at being conservatives. They make believe. Until there's another Republican in the White House, then they promote homosexuality aggressively. They promote child killing. They fund it. George W. Bush, hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood. In addition, above and beyond what Bill Clinton was able to pull off. And they tax and spend like drunken Republicans. Actually, the Democrats are a bit more honest about it. Because the Republicans, they just spend it. They spend and spend and spend, and it's all your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids' money. At least the Democrats, in their wickedness, they try to raise taxes so we have to pay for it ourselves. But the Republicans don't even have the courtesy of concern to our kids. They spend as they increase spending as quickly as Democrats. So far in history, every time a Republican has taken back the White House, they've increased social spending, forget defense, they've increased social spending faster than any previous Democrat. So that's where we're at. Now, Obama, he's spending trillions of dollars like a drunken Democrat. And he says, we got to cut the deficit in half. In what, 10 years? Did he say in 10 years? I mean, that's after he's gone. These presidents are such frauds. They are frauds. He's going to cut the deficit in half after he's gone? Nobody has to do what he says after he's gone. So he spends trillions and he says, oh, we got to tighten our belt. I thought you just said we got to spend. Oh, we got to spend and we got to cut the deficit. At the same time? Barack, at the same time? So he's a lunatic. It would be as though he was exercising and smoking. Wouldn't that be stupid? That'd be pretty stupid. So then we have what? Obama wants to sign this FOCA, Freedom of Choice Act, which would state in legislation that a woman, every woman, has a fundamental right to terminate her pregnancy. That's what FOCA says. And also, therefore, you can't put restrictions on it throughout all 9 months. Before viability, they say, for any reason. After viability, if the woman's health is at risk. And we know from our wicked courts that they interpret that to mean if she has a headache. So FOCA could, with the mere political wind of an election cycle, FOCA could undo 30 years of regulations, which were misguided. Jesus said, build on the rock. Build on a solid foundation. If you build on sand, the winds come and they blow your house down. And so Barack Obama could, with a signature, undo everything the pro-life movement did for 30 years, which is an example, an illustration of the fact that the pro-life movement was not building on principle. They were accomplishing nothing fundamentally right or good. It's inconceivable that we would re-legalize the slavery of blacks, isn't it? At this point in human history, it's inconceivable that we would reinstitute racial slavery. It's inconceivable. But it's not inconceivable that we would re-regulate the regulations, because there's no foundation there. There's no principle. Blacks are persons protected by every and any law that protects persons. You cannot intentionally kill an innocent person. And so every person, every human being should advocate, fight for the government to acknowledge the personhood of the unborn. Everyone. Even our religious cowards, leaders, even our religious leaders who say it's not the right time, we have to wait till the godless government is ready to protect the personhood of the unborn, then we religious leaders, then we'll jump on board. But don't ask us to lead. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't ask us to do that. We'll follow. We will work behind closed doors. Remember when the Germans were killing the Jews? We were experts at working behind closed doors. We're good at that. Remember when blacks were enslaved in America? We leaders, we were good at working behind closed doors. So that's where we're comfortable. Don't ask us to come out of our comfort zone. Don't ask us to be leaders. Oh, we're leaders when it comes to getting paid out of the money collected in our churches. Then we're leaders. But don't ask us to lead in advocating the personhood and the God-given right to life of the unborn. That's too much of a stretch for us. So you got Obama. Is he crazy or is he just a lunatic? I'm trying to figure that out. And then Bill Maher, remember ABC's Politically Incorrect weeknights with Bill Maher? I've been on that show about a half dozen times. I think we have all the appearances I did on one DVD. And it's a trip to see it. It's really a trip with Larry Flint. And could somebody hand me one of those? I'd like to remember just a handful of the people that I was on that show with. But Bill Maher, we have one of our resources is a DVD called Does God Exist? We have a debate, a book, about 250 pages, 10-round moderated debate I did against an atheist, a psychologist named Zaketh. And that's a lot of fun. Does God Exist? 10-round moderated debate. And then we have a DVD, a seminar called Does God Exist? And I was making the point that everything is evidence for God's existence. Everything. And I said, think of something very unlikely. And I said, for example, dirty jokes. And I put up a picture of Bill Maher. I said, even dirty jokes are evidence of God's existence. Now, I didn't tell any, but we explained. And in fact, we do it in the book, too, in the debate, Does God Exist? But when I was on ABC's Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, Jimmy Kimmel, I was on a couple shows with him. I called him a crotch humorist. I said, Hollywood, they used to have comedies, romantic comedies, sitcoms. And I said, Jimmy, you're a crotch humorist. That's all you are. That's what you do. You're a crotch humorist. And he didn't like that. He got upset. And about a year later, I'm back on the show, and lo and behold, Jimmy Kimmel's on the same show. You know, it's always four against one. One Christian and four God haters, generally. And so it's Jimmy Kimmel, and he's back on, and there I am on the same show. And I said, Jimmy, I remember you. You're the crotch humorist. And he got so upset. And he said, who is this guy? Get him off the show. Who is he? Why is he on this show when I'm on here? And Martin Short, Sisko, Donny Osmond, Judd Nelson, Larry Flint. That's about a third or a quarter of the people I was on that show debating. And so Bill Maher has come out with a movie called Religulous. And from reading reviews and talking to Will Duffy, the founder of the Collaborators Project, Will Duffy watched the movie with Clearplay. Some of us have Clearplay. It's a DVD player that cuts out not only cuss words, but bad scenes in movies. And it's really phenomenal. Anyway, he watched it with his wife, Religulous. And here's what Will Duffy reported. He said, Bob, compare the difference between a theist like Ben Stein, who made a movie Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, and Bill Maher, an atheist, right? The difference between evolutionist and creationist, for example. Bill Maher's movie, Religulous, almost everyone he interviews is an unknown. Ben Stein, when he interviews evolutionists, they're the world's most famous evolutionist. He goes to the most, you recognize name after name after name. He goes to the most famous, the standard bearers. Bill Maher goes to unknowns almost exclusively. Bill Maher has constant edits in his interviews. Ben Stein in Expelled, there are almost no edits. You see the interview. You see an entire segment of an interview. Also, by the way, Bill Maher targeted Christianity primarily, and he just threw in mention of other religions because he probably felt he had to. But it was clear that he wasn't obsessed with other religions, but with Jesus Christ. And he'd ask Christians if they said something about someone else. He'd say, are you judging that person? And they'd get stymied. They couldn't answer. Are you judging that person? It's so funny, you know. If you've just tuned in, Bob Inyart Live Monday through Friday on the most powerful Christian radio station in America, AM 670 KLTT. Also on the internet at KGOV.com. KGOV.com. Please tell a friend if they missed this show or some other show. Send them to the internet, KGOV.com. And Maranatha, what a great school, Maranatha.